Word of the Lord.
High school. Did you hear that? Should I read it again? Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Emily Dickinson. It is a wonderful thing to live life with hope, a sense of positive expectations that comes from God. The Apostle Paul reminds us faith, hope, and love are great gifts that come from God. And we Christians sometimes talk about the blessed hope. Remember what we mean by the blessed hope? We say during our communion service, Christ died, Christ rose, Christ will come again, is the blessed hope in which we live that gives perspective to everything that goes on in the world. The last 2 weeks have been very difficult ones for planet Earth, haven't they? We had a horrible explosion in Istanbul, Turkey. I've stood in that airport. That's a lovely city. Then we had folks taken hostage by terrorists in a cafe in Bangladesh. Who holds people captive in a cafe? Then we had Baghdad blow up, even more than usual, killed a couple hundred people. And the last week in our own country has been awful, hasn't it? Viral videos of what looks like police needlessly killing young black men. And then a sniper killing 5 police officers. How do we get our heads around the era of history in which we live? But Paul in Colossians, and remember Paul also lived in a very turbulent time, says, because of the hope laid up for you, for us, lead lives that are pleasing to God. Lives that take root in that hope and that bear fruit. Well, I don't know about you, but I love fruit. Do you eat fruit? I love fruit. I love farmers' markets. Here's a philosophical question. Is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable? Which is it? It's a fruit. Why is it a fruit? It has seeds. Everything that has a seed is a fruit. I guess even a berry then is a fruit, right? And fruit are awesome because they keep reseeding. They bear seeds to go on and on and on, and that's part of what fruitfulness means. Fruits that we eat also give us nutrients that we might not have noticed that we're missing. They give us fiber, they give us folic acid, they give us vitamin C, they give us great things. Paul says, be fruitful. Don't be a vegetable, be a fruit. Everything other than a fruit is a vegetable. If we eat a stem, what are we eating? You can put peanut butter in it. Celery, right. If you eat a root, what are you eating? Carrots, beets. If you eat a leaf, what are you eating? Lettuce, spinach. How about if you eat a flower? Remember the first President Bush said because he was president now, he didn't have to eat it? Broccoli. Yeah, very good. Fruits and veggies. Paul doesn't say be a veggie, be a fruit, because the fruit carries the seeds that reseed and keep going. In the name and the hope of Jesus, bear fruit. Now, from a secular, earthly point of view, it's not a very hopeful time in human history. We're in a huge change time. When old governments, especially in the Middle East, are breaking down, we can't discern yet the new pattern that's coming. We're divided in our own country too much along lines of poverty and wealth, race, class, gender, economics, politics, people shooting one another. How do we bear fruit? One of the questions John Wesley loved to ask new preachers and that we can ask ourselves is, have we fruit? What do we have to show for our efforts as Christian people? Well, Jesus says one of the ways that we show fruit is by loving our neighbor. Now, I tend to go to bed at night right after watching the news. I'm not sure that's a good idea. I'm not sure it makes for a good night's sleep. I like the BBC. I love the British accents, if nothing else. How do we know who our neighbor is in this madhouse that we call planet Earth? It's a question worth asking, isn't it? So Jesus tells us the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember, he was telling this story, this teaching story, to Jewish people who were being occupied by Rome and didn't like it one bit. And the punchline of the story is to think how you would like it if, in a moment of deep need, you were rescued and helped by somebody you didn't really like. Has that ever happened to you? What if, heaven forbid, you're out walking, you miss the curb, you break your ankle, and the person who comes running to help is the community's loudest, most vibrant, hard-hearted atheist? And that person says, I can splint your ankle for you. Put this piece of candy in your mouth so you don't get shocky, and I'll stay with you. That's kind of the punchline of the Good Samaritan story. What if you're in a big city and you have an accident and you're trapped in your car? Nobody's around. And the door of a bar opens and the most flashily dressed transgender person you've ever seen in your life comes rushing out and says, I can breathe for you till the ambulance gets here. People you normally want to associate with? Probably not. As shocking as a Samaritan going and ministering to a Jew. When David and I lived in Iran in April of 2007, we were watching the evening news in Farsi, trying to understand it, and in English across the bottom of the screen came the sentences, killings at Virginia Tech. That wasn't a surreal experience. Remember that? How could we forget it? It was close to home. And immediately we lived in a Muslim holy city, in a Muslim neighborhood, in a Muslim apartment building. With our neighbors, we did not share a common political point of view, a common religious point of view. But immediately, when that news came on, our phones started to ring multiple times. And it was our neighbors all around us saying, we saw the news. Are you okay? Are your kids okay? One of them said, you mustn't think terrible things only happen in America. They happen everywhere. I thought that was nice coming from an Iranian. And one said, this is 11 o'clock at night. It is not good for you to be alone when you're upset. We're coming over, my whole family. We're bringing tea, and we're going to sit with you until you feel better. And I thought to myself, and who was the good neighbor to the people in need? Do you remember the book that came out about a decade ago, Live, Love, and Laugh? It was a good one, about a woman who travels around the world, kind of rediscovers the good things in life. Well, if we were going to put three words to today's scriptures from Paul and from Luke, it would probably be hope, pray, act. Because Jesus' concern for us was action. You know, compassion really is love acting on behalf of another. It would be as though someone were drowning right in front of us, and we lined up chairs and said, oh boy, they're drowning, let's pray for them. Wait right here, I'm going to go home and get my bathing suit. Compassion is the neighbor in need who crosses our path, and we respond immediately. Now, the other side of this teaching story, the Good Samaritan, is the guy left for dead by the side of the road. Have you ever felt left for dead by the side of the road? Maybe a job evaporates, a relationship doesn't go right, you're stunned with grief. You feel pretty much dead and left by the side of the road. And through the mercy and providence of God, someone comes along to love you and take care of you. The man left by the side of the road, by the way, wasn't invisible. The priest saw him. That's why he went to the other side of the road. The Levite saw him. But you know, they couldn't see in him a neighbor. They could only see a burden. They could only see trouble. The Good Samaritan is good because he draws near. Just like those dear Muslim neighbors in Qom who said, "It's not good for you to be alone. We're coming." So to whom do we give a wide berth is a question that Jesus asks us this morning. Muslim refugees? Well, they're coming. They have nowhere else to go. Young black men in trouble? Police officers overworked and stressed to the max? Will we draw near? Have we fruit? Who is my neighbor? You know, God comes with mercy through the person we often least expect, in whom maybe we will feel the least comfortable. Because Jesus proclaims God is the God of all. All, that's inclusive. God's love has no partiality. And there is no one, no one beyond the love and redemption of all. We Christians perhaps ought to wear buttons that say all lives matter, because they do. God continues to choose the least likely people to do good, to rescue, to love in this world, the people no one expects, even us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is going to be, "Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore." I invite you to stand if you're able to and if you care to. It's always fine to remain seated. Number 344.